It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast, episode 335. I'm your host, Justin Worsham, and with me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, thekevinmiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Well, thank you.
That is really nice.
I try as much as I can. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that I don't even know. in usual Second Funniest Podcast fashion, we didn't really have much of a plan.
Yeah.
You said you found some
kind of plan
at
all.
Oh, no plan, really. Yeah. Sometimes we have no plan.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to clear the air a little bit.
I would like to talk about time travel.
Okay. Didn't we do that one time?
Oh, did we? Yeah. I don't know. There's no way to find out.
I felt like that was a trivia challenge one time.
Yeah, but I want to really talk about it.
Like, you want to cry about
it? No, I had some
when
thoughts.
When you say really talk about it, like, I feel like you want to dig deep into the emotional soul that is time travel.
I do. I have some deep emotional questions for time travelers.
Okay. Do you want to table these for another episode, or you want to get them out this?
Well, you know,
I just want to know how pressing are they for you.
I say we talk, and if at any moment in time we don't have anything else to say, I'm just going to get this stuff off my chest about time travel.
Oh, so you're saying you have time travel baggage, like that you?
I think
baggage in the way of negative emotional experience, but like
I think I've made
a chip on your shoulder,
an emotional breakthrough in my relationship with time travel, and I want to tell time travel. I want to do a DDR with the time travel.
A DDR?
No, DTR. Define the relationship. DTR.
Oh.
So
are you watching Jersey Shore now? Is that where you're getting
no,
these acronyms?
No, but I've had to have a few DTRs in the past. And the girls.
I feel like that's the super like waspy version of Jersey Shore, where instead of gym tan laundry, we have define the relationship. I want to DTR.
Seriously,
this chick.
A week ago, I would not have had a clue what you were referencing, but that is a terrible show.
Weird car crash. It's a weird.
I could not stop watching.
Yeah, you can't.
I hated it.
Hate it when people make fun of that kind of programming and then you watch it and then you're just locked in and you're like, why?
It took Kat to break the spell. She said, you need to stop giving them money by watching this. And that was like, and I hit down and then watched some Japanese game show that was on the thing. But the editing is what made me so angry. They go in to this like wackadoodle family photographer. And I think I was playing games, so I came back to it later when I turned off the console.
Are they in Italy for this season?
I don't care. Yeah. And so they wanted to do, so they're pitching all that. She's just pitching these crazy ideas to, I guess, the matriarch. We can do this. And she's like, no. And then they make some cut to her making this long, stilted, I can't believe you're actually suggesting this face. And it looked like, oh no, how could they possibly pitch these crazy ideas? And then they come back from commercial, and she says the same thing that she said before that was edited with the long stare, and now she loves it. Oh, that's great. Yeah, let's do it. Oh, she'll love it. Thank you. Thank you. These are such great suggestions. I appreciate all your creativity. Completely changing what it looked initially, it looked like they hated this chick and her crazy ideas, and then it was like, oh, we love your crazy
ideas.
So,
you know, these chick and crazy, like, you don't remember the context of the crazy idea?
Oh, yeah, the crazy ideas
names
were
of these people.
No, it was the matriarch and then the daughter, and they wanted to do these.
Wait, matriarch and the daughter? There's no matriarch on the show.
I don't know. There's a woman.
Let me break it down to you the regular parts of the show. Yeah. There's the three ladies are JWoww.
Are they mom? They're like a family, right?
And Snooki. And then there's Sam, and then usually like a red-shirted away party Star Trek member that is some in the form of some heavy-set Italian chick from Jersey as well, who usually is kicked out. Like she's literally like the red-shirted person from Star Trek who will die in the season, and she will just leave inexplicably. Hmm. It's been my interpretation.
Maybe it wasn't Jersey Shore.
Very limited.
Maybe it was the Kardashians.
Yes. Or, keeping up Kardashians. Now, let me break down this little snippet.
I feel
there
gross
is a matriarch. There is a matriarch, and then there are three young ladies.
It might have been keeping up with the
and
Kardashians.
And they all talk like this and stuff.
They look tore up. They look like they had
the ladies
gone in for plastic surgery and couldn't pay for it halfway through.
In my opinion, there are two very attractive ones.
That wasn't this show.
And then one that's unfortunately kind of like a horror
Norse a little bit. She's a Clydesdale of an Armenian, if you would. So, not that I'm saying she's ugly. I'm just saying there's no win situation for it's not Courtney. I think it's Chloe. Whatever. There's no win situation. I like that video game talk just became two nerds talk about pop culture television.
That was ridiculous.
Like, this is every
and this is the stuff that one episode a few weeks ago totally defends and think is real art.
Yeah. Every
and they make fun of 30-year-olds for liking games.
Every person that's listening to the show, these are the shows that they hate, I think.
I hate this show already.
That's what I'm saying. The people that listen to the show, this is, and we're breaking them down like it's inside the actor's studio.
Bottom line is they chose to do a mafia-themed photo, and everybody loved it. They got the dad
that's keeping,
to do it.
I think it's
got
to be keeping up Kardashians.
I want to put now, down the Kardashians.
Hold on.
Because they sound like Cardassians, and they are spoonheads. And in the Great Cardassian War, they took over Bajor, right?
Am I right?
Come on.
Am I right in listening to what you're saying? Yes, I am.
Do you know what I'm referencing?
Yes.
Okay.
The Cardassians, they came in and they took over Bajor.
Do you think Duo Basevi still listens to the show?
Duo Basevi?
Yeah. Do you remember Duo
Basevi? I know who Duo Basevi is. I don't know. I think we're about to get a Facebook message or an email to find out.
Yeah, let's find out.
Yeah.
Becca's plan.
What was that?
That's a reference to an older episode.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't think
that's... pre-gamer days.
I was like, I don't think that's Duo Basevi, though, is it?
Yeah, that's her.
Oh, really? No, she does not listen. She didn't even listen until you told her we were talking about her on the show, and then she called in. So
good times.
Yeah.
What games are you playing?
I'm still trying to finish Metal Gear Solid 4.
There's a Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I got a little frustrated today because I was on the spoiler alert. I was.
We need a sound effect for that. Like,
oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
Let's see. What's
danger?
You want like an alarm thing? Because we have this.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What else you got? That's been in since season one.
We have this.
No, that's like they were on an island.
We have.
No, because that's not. It's not bad.
What happened to my cool thing? I thought I had a cool thing in here. Oh, there it is. Let's see. Hold on. I got to find the trigger for this. Have I not set? Oh, okay. Here it is. Only in one ear, though.
That drives me nuts. I love it. It's like a
sensor. It's a sensor beep. It's supposed to be so we could be like, what the are you talking about?
I love it. I also love that it's like, I want to raise my left hand when I hear that to let the audiologist know that. No, that's not it. What's the audiologist?
Let me figure out what this does here. Hold on. Let me see if that fixes things. There it is.
Oh, now it's in like
Daddy
near my nose.
Sterile.
Yeah. It's good.
You, Kevin Miller.
Yeah.
You. And the horse you rode in on. I don't think that one works.
Yeah, no, it didn't. I recently went back and rewatched Madonna on Letterman circa 1994. Did you ever see this?
No.
Famous clip.
Just because you thought that Keeping Up with the Kardashians was Jersey Shore, I want you to be talking about the Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. This is famous. In 1994.
Madonna got up and flashed her boobs so Dave could see them. Later, we found out she had a drinking problem.
This is right after Letterman went to CBS. Uh-huh. And because back in the day, he was on NBC. He pulled the original Conan, if you didn't know.
Did he?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
No, he didn't. He didn't pull the original Conan. Like
they pulled the Conan on him. It was the same. It was
He was supposed to get it, and then they said no, but he didn't get it, and then they offered it to him,
and he said no.
Oh, really?
That was after Letterman had done it for 6 months. They were like, "Oh crap, this is not working," and they offered it to Letterman, and he said no, thank you.
Oh, after Leno did it for 6 months.
Yeah, and the show was tanking. And then so this is all in the documentary that was like years ago. Then Leno.
I didn't know that little tidbit.
Started to pick back up, and now it's the number one. Or at the time, it was number one.
I've talked on the show about how Jacob got to meet Jay Leno, right?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay.
But Letterman. So Madonna shows up, and they actually talk about this in subsequent interviews because Madonna's been on as recent as 2009. But she was high. She was totally high, and she comes on and she's just cursing up a storm, and she won't leave. They cut to two commercials and they're like, no, seriously, okay, maybe when we come back maybe she'll be gone. Like, they can't get her off the stage, and she's just, and like, it the set is all abuzz, the producers are all talking because she's just cursing like mad every left and right, and so you can get the unedited version on YouTube. It's pretty crazy if you want to check that out. It's a good piece of history because it starts
like,
out
is
all
she
like,
just is she cursing because she knows she's on network television
she's drunk, she's high, so she starts out all fun and kind of flirty, and she gives Dave her underwear, and it's all like really. I mean, this is 1994.
Like she takes them off right on.
No, she just brings them and hands them to him. But then she gets like dirty, and he's not having it because you know she gets a little over the top, and he tried to pull back, and then she gets all like drunk, bitch, like you know what your fucking problem is.
Whoa.
You're such a kiss up. You know that? Like, seriously, wow. It's out of control. I YouTube it. You'll love it.
All right,
it's good stuff.
Right. We'll check it out after this episode. But so anyway, my point. I don't know how we
Metal Gear Solid.
It was
the beeps.
That's what it was for. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I hope that doesn't hurt everybody.
It's also here. Like the sound of the tone. Leave your spoiler
like this better.
Alert. Yeah, I like that.
Or.
No, that's not. Spoiler alerts aren't bad. It's just got to let you know something's coming.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because that other one is a beep for my voicemail. Leave a method after the beep.
This doesn't work? No, that's a car speedway. I think that's the one. I think that, or. Oh, that's a happy spoiler alert.
That's like we reveal the ending. Everything gets wrapped up.
How about, what if this spoiler alert comes?
Yes! Spoiler. Okay, enough ramp up.
So
then Madonna.
So anyway, I got to the part where you fight Vamp. And for those of you who don't know,
that?
Vamp is a perceived to be a supernatural being due to nanomachines that are in his body rejuvenating him. So like earlier on in the game, he takes a headshot and then you think he's down, but he just lays there. And if I remember correctly, as he's going down, he tells the guys to hang tight for a minute. I'm just going to take a nap. He's just falling down with a bullet wound in his head.
That's kind of funny.
So, Metal Gear Solid is so campy, and there's another part that I want to talk about. But anyway, so and then he comes back, and it's like, really? There's our sound effect. Spoiler alert.
I don't think I could recreate that if I... Oh, there it is.
Please don't.
Okay, one more time. I have to put it back.
There you go. The genuine fear I experienced when, because you looked like you were remaining perfectly still and you had eye contact with me. And so I just heard this noise coming out of my ears. I'm a moron. Oh. Anyway, so like his name is Vamp. We understand that he's going to have some sort of vampiric qualities. You know what I mean?
You know, I didn't catch that.
Really?
I'm serious. I'm like, Vamp, huh? Yeah, like
what's the other word of it? Isn't that like a chick, huh, as a vamp?
No, well, you can vamp, meaning like stall, take your time.
He stalled this game. He definitely served that purpose, too. He had a double entendre.
You're thinking of tramp. Tramp.
I get those two names. Yeah,
vamp and tramp. Vamp the tramp. Better than tramp the vamp.
My sister is such a vamp. So he comes back, and then there's a part where you have to fight him, and then like
what violence in games?
Know, right? So I'm shooting him, and then he goes down, and then it's like, and then you know that you're screwed because Otacon comes on. He's like, "You did it, Snake! You did it!"
Was he a Transformer?
And then,
I am Otacon.
Such a horrible game.
Why do you play it?
Because it looks gorgeous, and I you remember when that game the first it was. It was a cool. We talked about it before on the show, but that's a cool idea to sneak around, and it's so I like keep thinking
Sly Cooper,
right? But this came out this before Sly Cooper.
Oh, okay.
This is like 90 something.
But the game you're playing isn't from 90 something.
No, it's the fourth one. Do you not understand how
I do understand work? What I'm saying is, why don't you play a game that's about sneaking around that's set in a modern like graphics engine and doesn't suck?
That's what I'm playing. Oh, that doesn't suck. That's the part.
There you go.
It doesn't really like it. The point I was trying to make is that it's funny how when you play the game, and there's this cool part where it lets you go back and play the level on the PlayStation in the same graphics, and you play this little part of the level, and then you come to, and
that's kind of cool.
And it's Snake asleep on the plane ride because he's going back to that same place,
yeah.
And so it was really cool to see like that first Shadow Moses like base rebuilt in a next generation console's graphic, you know. Oh, and it's got the same exact layout. Oh,
that's
so
fun.
That was really nice.
That's what I loved about Metroid when the second Metroid came out on the SNES, and the whole middle part of the game was the original game's layout, and you actually play for a little while, and then you end up in the first. And it's cheating because they just portaled in the old game, but then they did some things to it to kind of amp it up a little and make it better.
Well, so What was I saying? Oh, so like back then, sneaking around, like the idea of playing a game where you didn't just go and try and shoot enemies, yeah. like you had there, you had to think about what you were doing, and that you actually didn't have weapons to be able to fight back. The whole idea was do not kill people.
Right.
Like
right,
you
right.
have to sneak around and not be seen, and that's a really fun concept. That now, like you just look at it, you're like, well, I've done that, and now it's like. Something's happened to my head because now all I do is like, well, I'm just crawling around on the ground the whole time in this game. I'm slow crawling through every aspect of this gorgeous game. Mm-hmm. There's
not more thing like Mission Impossible, where like you have to do something and get out of the way real quick. Or there's nothing that heightens that tension.
There
of
is
sneaking.
There's stuff, but there's like the overall tone of it is that if you're willing to belly crawl through this entire game, it'll be easier for you. Like what really happens, I imagine, is that you belly crawl, and then if you're me. You get impatient, so then you try to crouch through some area, and then all the robots are like, wait, what? Oh, I heard a noise.
Yeah.
And then they come after.
Robots. Do you remember a few years ago, this may have been 5 years ago, SUVs, there was this huge public campaign from California for no speeding in your SUV, because they're having a big issue with SUVs overturning mm-hmm. while you're turning corners. So they developed this whole game, and there's this this commercial ad campaign where the SUVs were actually these like giant monster buffalo-looking things. Do you remember this?
No.
And they had in their bodies brake lights and stuff, so they're like, ride the beast safe. So they were cool looking, and I should dig it up. And then the game, they had this free online game where the point of the game was to drive safely. So you drive around and you take these corners. You can accelerate quickly, and if you overturn your beastalo, your SUV, it would pop up like four screens of SUV safety information. Don't do that. Here's why. Buckle up. Don't forget to drive safely.
Oh,
and then
wow.
it restarts and you're like, okay. So I had to think, the same thing what you're describing. This is going to be a game of patience, because the bad part was it was actually kind of cool looking. Like it was fun to be the beast. The terrains were pretty. You went through all sorts of different terrain and stuff. But after a while, I was like, well, that was fun, United States government, for trying to get my attention.
Well, so the other part of the rest of what I was trying to say in the story is that you fight Vamp, and then you kill his health bar. And then
he's
falls,
a vampire.
And then he rejuvenates, right? And then
like
you kill
phoenix.
Him again. I'm like, oh, if you kill him. And then I kill him. So I essentially down him three times.
Like you shot him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. You can down him by shooting him.
Yeah.
But that's also alcohol. You can down a shot by
down
shooting
a shot. Well, we're blowing people's minds today.
I am
changing
so
the
high.
World.
I'm so high. I'm
changing
higher than Madonna. Circa 1994.
With the tone of this conversation, people might actually think that's true.
That's true.
They might go, you know what?
They probably are high. We're not 100%. High. We might be high.
We're not.
I ate some chocolate pie.
You couldn't rhyme if you were high.
No, if I rhymed and I was high, I'd talk about it for the next 20 minutes.
I didn't even mean that to happen.
It's symmetry within reality, man.
That's funny.
That's my interpretation of people getting high.
So then you're like, and then you know how occasionally you'll do that and they built it into the game where it's like there's this thing you have to figure out. Mm-hmm. And then after you play the game for 10 minutes, somebody will go, you know what? Maybe you should try something like this. Or it gives you some kind of subtle hint that makes you have that aha moment they talk about in Portal 2. Well, in this game, it's all Otacon, your helper, all he says is, he keeps coming back. This is impossible.
Thanks.
That's his tidbit of help.
Thanks for the encouragement.
He's my soothsayer. He's the one who's like, I'm uber wise and I know everything. I don't know how to kill this guy, right? So luckily for Otacon and Old Snake, the internet exists in my world.
Yeah.
So I can
Amen,
go,
brother.
I could go online and say, how do I defeat Vamp in Metal Gear Solid 4? And there's like this weird sequence of events that you... Because I tried throwing grenades. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have a blade. Like, I'm like, oh, you have to cut a vampire's head off. Maybe that's what they're trying to
Very
go
clever.
For. And I didn't have a blade. I tried stabbing him with my knife. I tried throwing a grenade at him when I downed him, but he got up too quick. I tried throwing a phosphorus grenade at him because I figured the bright light would go after a vampire.
Yeah.
None of this is working, and I didn't have enough money to buy like a rocket, because I thought, that's what I wanted the answer to be. The answer would be like, oh, you can't shoot him with this pistola, but if you shoot him with an RPG in his face, that kills
that
a vampire
should kill
every
him.
Time.
That should kill him.
Which, by the way, I really want to see that happen in a movie or TV where they literally shoot an RPG into the abdomen of a vampire to just spreads and just watch it all. Like, you know how they always have the thing where things crawl back together?
Yeah,
that would be awesome. But anyway, So I had to look online. You have to equip a syringe that was given to you hours earlier in the game for your own treatment of like these nano machines. Like it's for you.
I hate that stuff.
And you have to do that. So you have to find a way to get behind him when he's down and do it. And I'm like, there is no hint for that. And I literally downed him like at one stretch. I downed him four times in a row. And I'm like, at that point, guys, you need to tell me, Konami. You need to say, hey, help a brother out.
But you're not a Japanese player. Who would not want that kind of hint?
The challenge
is in trying to figure out the craziest thing because they have nothing better to do over there than waste 18 hours on that level until they figure it out.
Well, it's horrible. I was gonna make some horrible tsunami joke and then I just didn't like that idea.
What is wrong with you?
I know I didn't, but I was going to.
That is just
so. Anyway, this also ties into it that you. I want to know how many times as gamers I think that we all have this moment where you're playing a game that it's subpar, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But you keep playing because you're like, something's going to get good here around the corner.
And I do not hope to offend anyone sitting at this table, but for me, that's been Uncharted a few times where it was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Where it's getting to the point where I can only play it for about 10 minutes. I'm right at the last chapter, I can tell.
But you're still in the first one, right?
Yeah, still in the first one. I know that's why
I'm willing
to power through.
I really had no real moments like that in the sequel, in the second one.
I believe it. And because we played the sequel and I saw the step up in technology. And it's clear, what drives me nuts about Uncharted, the first one, is it's clear that they did the opposite of what most people are trying to attain. And I feel like the gaming is a distraction from a good movie or a good story, which is the opposite of like Just Cause, where the story is a distraction from a pretty fun game.
Yeah, really fun idea.
Yeah, but the lines of dialogue and the characters are just, they're offensive. They're so poor.
Yeah.
Where this is the opposite, where the gameplay in the first Uncharted, it was clear that they had this great idea, and I know it's an older game and it was very innovative. But, like, it's essentially only two game modes. You can either hop around like a monkey or shoot stuff.
I don't know if it's
stuff.
Innovative. It's Tomb Raider with a dude, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't play the
animation,
Tomb Raider.
The animation of the character is better, but it's because it's on a superior machine.
But I thought the story was kind of unique. The Tomb Raider is Tomb Raider doesn't really have much of a story behind
it,
right?
No, it's the same. It's the same. That's why I think they thought they could make it into a movie that was good, but... The Tomb Raider, I thought, had a nice balance in that. What it did was, why do we have this scantily clad chick diving through these crazy caverns and doing all these crazy things? And so you had these little cutscenes that said, oh, this is why you have to go 40,000 feet into the earth.
It's Cole Porter musicals, which is, you know, Cole Porter would write the music and then go, I'll put a story around it.
Yes,
and
that's what
And his music was so brilliant that people didn't mind sitting through a bad story.
Tomb Raider is a fun game to play, like, because it's more about figuring out ways to climb walls and dive into holes and doing puzzles. Yeah. And in the original, like the first Tomb Raiders, you didn't even really fight guys, really. You always fought animals initially, and they were slow moving and just there to
And that's what I'm saying. I could care less for the gameplay in Uncharted. I find the game boring. I find the guns boring.
But you love
boring.
The characters and the cutscenes.
I love the characters and I love the cutscenes. And I'm genuine. And I find the imaginativeness of it very captivating.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah.
They are making a movie.
See, and it's the opposite of most games where I'm like, I don't care. Just move on with the thing. So I can't wait to beat it and move on to Uncharted
2. And I'm starting to think that maybe, because Uncharted 2 is still kind of holding strong as my favorite game. But I think a lot of that has
over
to
over Red Dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Admittedly, I might be being unfair in that a lot of it has to do for me is the way that starts. Like, I think I might be, because that was the other thing too, is I was thinking to my other point about playing a game hoping for something to change, is that there's a weird psychology as a gamer where it's like, I played that first, you know, 10, 15 minutes of that, and I loved it so much. I just loved that it started right of Uncharted 2. It started right in the middle.
Yeah,
it's
and
it is going down.
Yeah, giddy up. Here we go.
Yeah, and it was like, I was like, oh, and it had me nervous while I was playing it. Like, isn't it great when you could, like, really get, you could feel the tension and fear from, like, and I get, like, it's stupid, but I get that, like, when I climb up a tall tower in Assassin's Creed and stuff, maybe it's a height thing, but there's little things about
where
me.
Yeah, where it taps into that human emotion.
I feel like how, obviously a tenth of it, like, if I was really, you know, 200 feet up on a Roman pillar, No, I wouldn't but be like, oh.
And this is the Kevin Miller gamer manifesto, is that games are a misnomer. Like, that's not the right word for it. They're an evolution of media. Mm-hmm. Because you start with radio, and that's just sound. And then you have television and movies, which is visuals and things. And then they try things like 3D. You try things like smell-o-vision. You try things like, motion-sensing theme park rides.
Smell-o-vision.
Well, it was huge. Like, in the 50s, they were trying to figure, like, 60s, like, what can we do
to
fully integrate somebody into the thing? And so that seemed to make sense. And games, what we call games, are just the natural evolution of that to the, you know, your controller moves. That's why I think it's become more and more acceptable for our generation, because it's not a game. It's not Pong or just this, Space Invaders. There's a story. We're playing media. We're playing a movie. We're playing a story within it. It just so happens that we get to play that role. Mm-hmm. And that way, I guess it's like a game, but it's more. It's the next level. It's the next evolution. It's the next step beyond this is us actually physically within the story that's there.
And it's interesting to me that when we talked, like what we talked about last week, is that. That made me think, well, I started thinking, I'm like, well, what's the next step within games? And I don't think it's virtual reality. I really don't think it's completely feeling that encompassing because that's, I don't really think that as a gamer, that's what we crave.
I don't really want to hold
a makeshift gun. Like, why I don't like the move necessarily as much as I like that controller.
It's the draining of the grind. That's what we're going to see within games, is that right now you play, 10 years ago, Lord of the Rings came out. So they build a Lord of the Rings game. You spend the first 30 minutes of the game going around as Frodo killing bees in the forest in order to gain XP and gain the gear and stuff you need. That kind of game is dead. That would not be made now because it's boring grind. But even in Uncharted, like the movie is the interesting part. The actual gameplay, not as interesting. So what we're seeing is more of an integration of content into the gameplay. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think the Sly Cooper series does this really well. Sly 3, I read some reviews, said that it's essentially a series of mini games throughout it. And that's because everyone is based on content rather than doing the same thing again and again and again and again, trying to shoot Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, where you have some enemies that are force-based and some enemies that are battle-based and you have to switch between. It is boring.
No, Star Wars The Force Unleashed is a great example of grind in that...
The second one is.
I thought the first one was too. Yeah. In that it was cool because it was the first game that really did a good job of being able to fight with lightsabers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
But... It was still like
it was
a lot
very
of
arcadey.
It's
that's
a lot
true.
Of oh, press this, X or what I can't remember whatever you're slashing with. It was just a lot of button mashing.
That's true.
And then, but then it had like these cool ideas for combo attacks. But then to integrate the combo attacks almost became a little bit of a hassle because it's like, well, once I've seen it, then I'm done. I just want to
move on.
I want to move on to the story. That's what
that's
I want to get
good
into.
Point. I don't know enough.
LA
games.
Noir does a really good job of that.
That's true. And then you take that and make it more action packed. You make more action stuff. And that's what I say. What I think I said a couple weeks ago about we're essentially sharks in the gaming world. That our only thing for interacting with the environment.
Having a rough go tonight, huh?
I need to calm down. I'm very passionate about this. Games are the future, and I realized in Infamous 2 at the very end. That's when it kind of clicked in my head.
Is that a spoiler? Do I need to hit a button? What happened?
That's all I'll say. You can hit it.
Wait, is that not supposed to be our thing? It's supposed to be this.
Spoilers. I think that's spoilers. If I was really going to give you the ending of Infamous 2. But if you remember the end of Infamous 2, the very, very last thing you do, I was like, oh, this is it. This is me inside.
Wait, which one?
Well, I don't know. I only did good. I assumed it happened in bad as well, but maybe it doesn't. Oh.
No, it's very different. Oh, and I don't think I'm ruining anything by saying that. I wonder how universal is a spoiler alert? Like, if we just started every episode with spoiler alert, then are we off the hook?
Yes.
That's too much information.
That'd be great if there was an explicit tag on iTunes and a spoiler.
And a spoiler alert.
We should request this. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
What was I going to say next? But I was talking about this idea, and I'm sorry if I'm walking on what you just talked about, But the idea of integrating controllers and everything. So you agree with my philosophy that we don't want to become immersed in the world.
Yeah.
We just want to see the world and manipulate it.
I would say that what I want is that the game, in quotes, the point of... game developers spend a lot of time doing combat mechanics. They have a term for it that just escaped my brain.
Let me look it up while you're
combat
talking.
Engine, something like that, where they spend a lot of time building out the mathematics of, you know, hit points versus damage points and that sort of thing. That instead of spending all their mathematics and time on that, on having to make sure balanced fighting happens, that the game of the game is in content of the story, is how the story is manipulated and moved, and that the action and fighting takes a backseat to that. Yeah. Not saying it goes away, but that it's the same thing that Scott McCloud talked about in his books about comic books, that comic books for some reason are only about superheroes. Like 98% of all comic books sold star somebody in a tight suit. He's like, this is the ultimate in storytelling media because you have pictures that...
Of action.
Of anything. Yeah. Anything. It can be... You can draw a beautiful picture and show sorrow, show pain. You can tell stories that you can't tell necessarily with just words because the pictures say 1,000 words, and you can. But that's not what's happening in the medium. And I think the same thing is true within games. If the user, the enjoyer, has the ability to navigate through the story, we have a limitless amount of possibilities.
So it's not immersion that maybe we think we want; it's connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that's exactly it.
That's what we're looking for. The idea, because. Like, I have these moments like mm-hmm. what I just talked about where Assassin's Creed, where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so high. I feel my heart beat a little faster. Yeah, I'm nervous about what's happening. And so I'm like, I'm in it.
And
like,
see, that's it. In those moments,
An emotional connection to Infamous 2, too, where it's like you make this choice and you're like, oh my God, they're going to make me do this.
Right. And the stake in the high, when you're up on the balance beam and everything, that has the same stake as it would in if you were watching a film, right? Where the point of the game is, if I make a wrong step, I die. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the games are run around, shoot stuff. You can take a few hits. You can fire back. The stakes aren't as high.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you're going to win, right? You're just going to keep repeating
until I finish.
But what is different between that and walking on a balance beam is that is an... I mean, I guess maybe we're desensitized from guns being thrown at us within the game, but... The story changes dramatically if you fall off that wire. Like, the mm-hmm. stake is your life.
I think the reason I can relate to that, I can't really relate to what it is to have a gunfight with someone, mm-hmm. but I can relate to the idea of being high up and not being comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, even though, weirdly enough, all the characters usually are, but I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, too, like, I really like this idea, because the books, like, here's what I was thinking. Like, books... When you read a book, I don't picture myself being the character. Mm-hmm. I watch it in my head.
Unless
like
you're reading Twilight, where she's telling it to you, and then no.
Well, I build the picture in my head. You create the film.
Yes.
In your head, and it is interesting because in a game, you're not watching it.
Right.
I'm not building anything. It's already built in there, and I get to. There is a little bit of me that's mm-hmm. going to get translated. Like, I have a way that I go, even in Metal Gear Solid 4, I'm mm-hmm. like, I think going the long way around is always going to be better, even though it's like, it's not completely immersed in the world. It's because I'm like, if I'm a programmer, I'm going to know that, hey, I want to go right there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, if I go all the way around, then it's easier and I can sneak easier.
See, this is my final point on is that right now within games, and I say this for pretty much every game in existence, there is the user, us, who is being forced to live out the story that is only as complex as the developers can make it. There is a story. Maybe there's one track or a few different tracks or variations on a track, but that's the story. It has already been pre-decided to the point where it's like a tennis match between us and the developers. You play for a little while, and then you stop and watch a scene and see what they created, and then they hand it back to you. And we've allowed all sorts of justifications for that, you know, it cuts between what we're doing to the pre-existing scene, and suddenly everything's different. And even though I've just cleared out all the enemies in the area, it then cuts to a scene, and I'm killing the last guy. And then I have a conversation, and then it jumps to something else. And instead, what I'm suggesting is that the content is created by the gamer, where you would actually have control over dialogue, have control over your actions, and the actions and dialogue are not just killing zombies.
So like Mass Effect, I think, is an example of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And what frustrates me a little bit about Mass Effect, but I find peace with it, is that I go, because I'm like, I want to know everything.
Yeah,
I want to know everything that's happened, but I don't want to go back and play the game 47 times.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But even Mass Effect has an end. It's the same thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying endless.
Yeah, exactly.
You're where everything is involved, and it just is ongoing. Mm-hmm. But and how is that different from an MMORPG, though?
That is a good question. And we'll see what Guild Wars 2.
And we'll answer it next week right here on Second Funny's podcast.
I think Guild Wars 2 dies. Sorry. I think Guild Wars 2 will kind of bring that, because they claim that they will have a truly branching storyline. And what that suggests is if you make a path, make a choice.
Not everybody's playing the same game.
You can't. The only way to do it is to start over with a new character. See, because what happens in most MMORPGs right now is you do it, and then you can go back and replay a level. Or you can go and do another path. The first Guild Wars...
Oh, there are story paths.
In some games, in Guild Wars factions, you have the ability to choose between two different factions, to choose between the Kuzerkits or the Luxicons. And if you do one of them, you do the whole storyline, you side with them, you get points, you get a reputation with them, and then you can go back and do it with the other side again. You just change allegiances, and nobody gets mad at you. Nothing happens within the game. They're like, okay, now you're fighting on our side of the war.
So it's like playing Infamous, but being able, mission by mission, go good and bad.
Yeah, and the only thing that changes is that once you go down a path, like you rack up points for allying yourself with one group, and then once you spend them, you lose points in both arena, like both people... The tank gets dropped out of both people. So you need to process through one side. But it's... There's nothing stopping you.
So, like, to break it down completely, there's a good side and a bad side, and you're filling up experience points in each one.
Yeah, you're filling up points on the bad side, and when you spend them for things, both the good and bad points get dropped.
Okay.
But so there's no real point to moving forward. Anyway, that's my thought on games.
Are we done then?
I played several games this past week.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. We spent so much time talking about it.
No, that's the most important thing. Somebody make a video of that 20-minute long conversation.
Our fans really like us. I really liked. Did you see the animation of Morgan Freeman and Sly talking in Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
I thought that was
pretty
funny.
Pretty solid.
It was an animation. It was a cut. But,
yeah, it was a little. It was good.
I thought it was great.
We last week, Kat and I went out of town.
I did not think my Morgan Freeman was great.
I thought it was amazing.
No, I
it started out great, and it ended even better. Went around a corner. Kat and I were on a road trip, and we finished listening to the first Twilight book. And then we went back and listened to some old podcasts, and we actually listened to last year's episode where we did the Newlywed Game. Uh-huh. I texted you about this. And this is a funny show.
I know.
This is a pretty good show.
We're good.
I'm pleased. I'm pleased to be on this show.
Bill, the dad podcast I do, Bill makes fun of me because sometimes I'll do the same thing where I'll tune into a show, and I'll be like, we are funny.
Yeah.
We're very funny. And he's like, you don't say that. And I'm like, no. We are. I've listened to both shows. I've listened to this one, and it's funny to hear myself laugh while laughing live.
Yes.
Like, to be laughing at the same moment again that I'm listening to me laughing at again. Yeah, it's fun.
It's a good show. It's a good show. I listened to part of last week's.
You are welcome, listeners.
Yeah. You know why? Because you don't have to listen to this. Nobody's making you, so you're welcome.
That's what's nice about podcasts.
But please tell your friends. We can use some more listeners.
We can really use that.
Like us on the Facebook page.
I mean, clearly we're good.
The best, right. Second best, well, the very least.
Yeah.
Okay, so I talked about Uncharted, did that. I played Split Second.
At my house?
Yep, your son and I played SpongeBob. It was pretty great. And I also got my hands on a 3DS.
What? From who? Our good friend Christian?
A good friend Christian got one because he has everything.
Yeah.
And it's only, what, 100?
What a world he lives in, where he has a great job, making good money, and no
wonderful
kids.
Wife. Yeah, no kids. He's a dink.
Yeah. What?
Double income, no kids.
Oh.
Dink.
I was like, I've never heard that term before.
And then you guys are zinc, I think.
Yeah.
Zero income.
We're good for Kohl's.
Oh, no. Yeah. Because there's double income, no kids. You can be a sink. Single income, no kids.
We're single income, two kids.
So I don't think tink is
what is
thing.
NSYNC?
Justin Timberlink.
No single income. That's been our show.
Thank you for listening. That's it. We just ran out of things to say. It's the end of the show.
The internet has ended.
You have reached the end of information. Thank you. And Johnny Five's all like, what?
I think we have to talk about time travel now then.
Yeah, you're right. Whew, got one in the chamber.
Oh, that was close. Good thing we chambered that beforehand.
Christian, because the...
I want to know about this 3DS, because I told you about the mini demo that our good friend Jeremy gave me outside Mr. T Feathers.
I sure hope that Jeremy doesn't hate me after this, but now...
Oh, no!
Now I know why the 3DS is $8 or whatever they dropped the price to.
Oh, no!
Because it is worth less than that. I could not get more bored playing something. And the funny thing is that we were across the street, they were having a garage sale, which is where I got your son's SpongeBob game, and they were selling an original Game Boy and a Game Boy Color, and those were more fun than this 3DS.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I was pleased.
Oh, so, good for you!
Now, first of all, the 3D aspect, okay. Yeah. And if you bring it all the way up, instantly hurt my eyes. Yeah. Like, it was as if somebody was just punching me in the retina. So I bring it down to halfway, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of 3D. Good job.
Hey.
So then I play one of the games, and the first game Christian gave me, I was like, okay, not bad, but still not amazing graphics, and it has a hard time processing. That's the word.
Rendering?
Rendering. You put a card down on the table. Have you seen this one?
Yeah, he showed me that one.
And then it tracks the card, and then your table opens up, and like a monster comes out. And if that was the game, probably would have been interesting. That's a mini game. It lasts 4 minutes, and you're done. And then the table can transform into a mountain, and you shoot a boulder down. And it's just, it's boring. It's boring, and it's poorly rendered.
You know, having you re-explain this to me just gave me the new slogan for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo... The chemistry set of video games.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at what we're doing.
Exactly what
it is. We're never going to cure cancer. We're not going to blow anything up, but we're going to make things purple. What?
Yeah, that's it. It's like experiments in gaming. And so then I take a picture of Kat to shoot her face, and the picture wasn't perfectly aligned, so she's all weird on the thing. And then she's flying around the room.
That's the one where they turn you almost like tennis balls or something. Like.
Yeah, and it's super easy. Not difficult at all. I'm blasting part of the room, becomes like... three-dimensional space and stuff, and okay, but there was no stakes. I mean, it's all mini game. It's all boring. So I was like, oh, what do I do with the rest of these cards? And Christian slides me. He's like, there you go. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm going to play a Mario game. Maybe Mario will bounce around on my table or something. No, I can push Mario around on my table. A 3D holographic
Mario.
Only viewed through the thing. I'm like, oh, what if
so
I put more
cards? So when you
move
the card, Mario moves on your screen.
No, I can control him. He doesn't move. He's not animated. Like a statue, he just gets pushed
like a
around.
Chess piece?
Yeah, just pushes around the table. If I have two cards out, he might bump into him and won't move past him. Fascinating. Fascinating. Kevin, so turn that off.
Kevin is so angry, like we pressed his square button.
Exactly. Turn that noise off. He's like, I got one more game. I said, great. And it's the game where you write the word that you want. It's not in 3D. Oh, and Facebook games have better graphics.
Oh,
so you write.
That just happened.
You write the word. There's like four little guys on the ground, and says, you know, give them something that they need. So I write, there's a fireman. So I write hose, and it says, do you mean pantyhose or fire hose? Well, I guess I mean fire hose, don't I? Click. So a fire hose appears, and I hand it to the fireman. Ding! 1 point. Okay,
wait,
so
this isn't that, because what's the name of that game that I remember talking to you about this, that somebody told me about this game where you write the name of something that you need.
Anything.
And it shows up, but they described it as not being really, or no, it was draw. You draw.
No, this
like
is.
Like you draw a rocket ship if you need to get over a wall or a ladder.
That would be cool. This was, it wasn't even I write the word, like I can sans serif, just write it on the screen. I have to type it using the itty bitty ancient stylus. H-O. On a QWERTY keyboard. So then I'm like, well, let's see if we can mess with this. Knife. Do you mean a cutting knife or something else? Okay, give that to the butcher. Car. I tried to break it and make it something interesting. Oh, the car doesn't work. You can't put the car on the screen. Oh, that's great. Bread. A piece of bread showed up. It's not really. It's just
so
like...
It's essentially a magic trick. The whole thing is a magic trick where you think that what you think is what is happening isn't what's really happening.
No,
so for instance, like if I think... Oh, I told it that I'm doing. I'm actually controlling the game.
No.
But it's just because you want the reward. You want the sardine because you just did a backflip in front of 200 people in San Diego.
Like I tried to, I couldn't think of something that it did. I think I thought of one thing where it gave a variation, but it had stuff. It had benign things. I also didn't try to mess with it too much. Like But like no something one specific.
Would. It's the idea.
Well, that I was like, well, I know it's not going to have Kenmore washing machine. Like, there's no point in doing that because I know that's not going to be in there. But if I wrote washing machine, I bet they had a little graphic.
Did you mean a dishwashing machine?
Exactly. But it was like 16-bit graphic. Maybe Super Nintendo era. Not super impressive. And I think that's supposed to be part of the camp of it. I was like, that's great. Fold it up, set aside. Listen, if you love Nintendo, God bless you. I gave it every game that my buddy had and tried it, and it was thoroughly unimpressed. And after that, I do not blame them for dropping the price down to nothing.
Well, I remember when Jeremy showed it, I thought, oh, these are some cool ideas, but it's not something I would want to get.
If I was 8, I'd have been all over it.
I don't even think then, though. Really?
Yeah, maybe. I would have thought it was fun.
Compared to a PSP, though?
At 8 years old, I did not finish games. I was more into the concept of them.
Oh, okay.
So I would have liked...
Yeah, this is like... Because it does. It feels like a little bit of...
it was a toy.
Here's a tutorial level on how video games are made.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Now, meanwhile, I had this weird hankering...
Come back your sophomore year and play Minecraft.
Minecraft is more interesting than the 3DS.
Oh.
I would play Minecraft. Before
what?
I would play this. Yeah, if somebody said, what do you want to do for 2 hours? A bit Minecraft.
Infamous is sweet. Oh, I've got him.
Yeah.
I've got him back. Just when you think you're out.
3D, it hurt.
Back in.
I've never played a game that hurt me, like physically hurt my eyes.
Yeah.
Even the Game Boy VR back in 1989.
But who thinks that is really a thing that you want? Like, you're playing a portable gaming system. You know what I want? In a portable gaming system, I want the same level of gameplay and fun that I had in older generations of consoles. That's what I'm looking for, honestly.
I don't agree.
Realistically.
I want to play Guild Wars on my portable gaming pad. I want to be able to play Guild Wars. I've tried.
The same graphics. You don't have
that expectation.
No,
I want the same graphics.
Whoa.
I want to play Guild Wars on a handheld device so that anytime I feel like it, I can go into Tyria.
Oh, good for you.
That's what I want. And that's why when I used to travel with Oasis like you do, I would always bring my laptop so that I could play whatever current game I was into, or like I'd bring the PlayStation or whatever if I was going on a super long trip. But so I got this weird hankering to play movies, the movies where you run your own simulated movie studio.
This week, right?
This past week, yeah. Have I talked about that game on the show?
Oh, yeah.
I love that game.
We told about the same time I think I did my Sims story or whatever, where you started making all these movies. And
yeah, so because they had an expansion pack that I never really got to get into, and so where you get to do your own action effects, and they have a set that looks like a city, so you can make monster movies where the guys wander around stomping on buildings and stuff. So I was like, well, I want to try this, so I tried to load it up, and it seriously took me about 45 minutes to get it to working because it's the last res of the game was on Windows XP. Service Pack 2, so to get Vista to run that takes a few hours of reading through blogs to find out how to trick the compatibility with it. The only way I was able to get it to work was, after the game was installed, was to go back through my archives, find an old saved game, and launch that, and that would kick the program on. That was the only way to get into the software.
That's some impressive war game stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, I kind of know what I'm doing at this point.
Wow.
And then was able to play it. And the graphics were not phenomenal. They're also super old. But the game it still kind of holds up a little. That I would love to see that game get ported over to the iPad or something, but I don't think it ever will.
No, it will. I think the technology just has to catch up.
It takes
up a lot of disk space, though, all the options, huh?
Well, and it automatically stores MOVs or whatever. The point of the game is that you make a movie.
Make a movie.
And so that's got to be stored somewhere.
I want to try to write more. What's that program that Geico kind of used for their commercial?
Oh, I don't know.
Where
this
it has animation. Like you write the dialogue and it uses the computer voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Animato, I think.
Because there's one about stand-up where it's like, it goes, hello, I am a comedian.
Yeah,
I wish to work in your club here. And then the comic booker goes, no, you must first work for free and try your stuff out in 5 minutes or less at our open mic.
Yep.
Okay, then after that, can I move up? No.
That must be the genre of those kind of things, because somebody shared with me a Christian artist's one where they got booked this Christian artist on this road tour, and they're like, don't worry, man, I will take care of you. Great. Well, how do I get paid? Well, man, don't worry. I'll take care of you. You're going to, after you sell the merch after the show, you can just download the songs you need on iTunes. It's a write-off. That's hardly the point, man. Don't worry, man. I will take care of you.
I want to make these. I want to. You said it was animato?
I think so. Animato. Animato. You say animato. I say animato.
We got to get going, though, soon. It's a quick show.
Okay, so SpongeBob SquarePants, we bought at a garage sale for $3. It's one of those things where the Atari is inside the controller. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for the fact that we were on your jumbo TV, it wouldn't have been too bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think if I put it in Cat's TV, it would have been like, oh, that looks really
fun. See, that's a good example of some games that can... That could go on like a 3DS that are just fun and simple to play, or would you be angry by that too?
No, if that's what portable gaming. If that's what the game was, I'd have been into the. The problem wasn't that it wasn't super high res; it was that they were super short. Like it was clearly the developers going, oh, "Okay, this is what we can do with the technology." Now somebody actually develop a game. If they had handed me a game where the whole point of it is that my desk keeps opening up and new monsters come out and I have to shoot and fly around and do stuff and there's more levels and danger keeps getting rise, then I'd play it. And yeah. I'd be like, that's great. My desk just transformed into my desk. No, that's not the game. It's a demo for somebody else to build.
Well,
And if that game exists, tell me, and then I'll check it out.
Because, like, to me, that just made me think of something that you used to have. I don't know if it's from your kid or used a bit that you used to do, that there was some creatures that existed just outside of your peripheral vision.
Yes, yeah, the VIPs. Yes, that's Corn Man's people. We spoke of him.
I love how serious you get about it. Like, it just makes me so happy. So anyway, like, what if that was like a game of that where it's like, oh, there's all these creatures all over your house.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, so, like, you
and
could be...
And that's a Vizipets. That's a game
You could be walking around, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, there's a creature. You could zap, like, you know what I mean? Kill all the germs in
your
house or whatever.
That's Invisipets on the game, on the 3DS, where there's a invisible pet, and only through the magnifying glass of your 3DS can you see the pet. But I'm not a 13-year-old girl. I'm not going to want to pet and bathe an invisible puppy, you know, for very long. I want to play a game where there's some action and some interest and, you know, has a solid story. There's an actual game to it.
Yeah.
Did I stall long enough? I was waiting for you to pull up whatever.
No, not long enough. I wanted to find it because I think that I'm going to try and find it. I think the listeners, because I forgot that I get a lot of people asking about the stand-up comedy business and stuff like that. And this video actually does a really good job of, like, explaining how the business works.
We'll find it. We'll put it on the Facebook. We'll post it up there.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to listen to robot people talk.
Yeah.
Because I also want your opinion on Split Second.
Yeah,
Christian
I
also
it.
Showed me. It was 20
I really
bucks.
Liked it. I didn't get a chance to play it because I was too busy getting
we'll
stuff
do that
ready
right after
for
this.
My son's birthday party. But I like the look of it because with a driving game, I think it's a fun idea for a driving game. I really like the stuntman. Maybe loved is strong, but I like the concept and the premise of stuntman where it's like, okay, we got to nail these stunts.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I really
so in
like
this
those.
Game, it's like inspired by Michael Bay. I think it's been out for a while.
Driver. Remember that game Driver for PS2? I really liked that game. The idea was you were a getaway driver for bank robbers.
Oh, yeah.
You'd just have to get out of town.
Yeah, that's like a mini game, but
run
that's
away
pretty
for
solid.
Cop. But it was
for PS2 days, that's great.
Yeah, and it was... But they built a game on the concept of what would be a mini game for Grand Theft Auto or a level in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty enjoyable. Like, it had some really nice, like, physics
to it.
And it was a lot of fun. And so with the driving game, my point was, is that, you know, the physics is what really can or can't make it fun.
Yeah.
And I think, to me, in Split Second, and maybe I'm being unfair, is that I think the idea of blowing stuff up, like, once you've done it once or twice... You're like, okay, I did it. Thanks.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, the only point of the game is to unlock more stages, to see more tracks. And maybe there's some DLC. Again, it was $20.
Yeah.
And I think
a game for
$20, it was like, you know, that's worth my time. I will definitely earn my money's worth on that.
I should look at that, because I had some people, when I say some people, there was one guy,
that's
and I forgot
some,
your name.
Where there's one, there are at least two.
He was talking about whether or not I was going to get Formula One to 2011.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, that's the other thing. A long time ago, we started talking about people... saying that I hadn't accepted friend requests on the PSN.
Yeah.
I had a lot of messages.
Yeah, I believe
so
it.
Some of you have gotten a reply from me. I went through. I was
only the
stay
cool
up,
ones.
I was going to stay up late after we did a podcast and play a little Metal Gear Solid, and I stayed up for 2 hours going through all my messages.
That's the night you responded to me.
Yes,
and I was like, "That's a 2-month-old
yes.
message."
Yes, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, it's because you asked me a question of like, "How's this game?" And I was like, "Really? You too? Like, you? I talked to you every 7 days face to face.
At the time that I sent it, you had just bought it and were just dropping
it
in. So I was. It was like a legit. I saw you online.
No, it's not legit.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Because you're gonna see me. You have
That's...
my. Hold on. You have my phone number.
That's well, whatever. You're playing a game.
If you see me online, you could text me and say, "How is it?" And it makes more sense because I don't know what it is about my visual programming, but I am not wired. Maybe it's because my parents were divorced, but I'm not wired to see the message received in that upper right-hand corner.
I think that's just because you refuse to receive many messages. Let's get Natalie in here. She'll back me up on this. Hey-oh!
He's a wall, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's saying. He's just a wall. Don't even bother talking to him.
Dead weight. I'm sorry. Can we give your phone number out so everybody can text you?
Yeah, sure.
It's 818. So lucky I don't know your number.
It's funny how dumb I am with being on. Like, here's the thing. Honestly,
are you not 818?
Honestly, I don't have a single problem with the listeners of this show, like, cell phone number.
No, I'm going to help you out there,
buddy.
Here's
what's going to happen. This show has grown a lot.
Yep.
I mean, we're getting upwards of 1,000 or more people that are listening to each episode.
We give 408-228-4911.
Yeah.
Text him all day long.
But, which reminds me, we need to do voicemails in the next episode.
Frack.
But anyway, it's almost going to be like we're going to have to do an email episode and then a voicemail episode, is what I'm saying.
There are that many voicemails?
Oh, yeah. There's like 30.
Are they mostly just... that was another. You got
to
weed through.
By the way, I don't know if some people need to learn. Remember, if you're doing Skype, to check your check your audio settings. Because if you just call in, and because I've gotten 1 minute long messages, then I'm not hearing a dang thing.
There's a whole test option to make sure that
if you call
on
your phone, it should be fine. It's good to go. But anyway, I was trying to see. Oh no,
what's wrong?
I hope that's the right day, but somebody back in May asked me on PSN Network if I was going to get Formula One 2011, and I said, yes, I am. And then I went, hey, wait a minute, I think that's coming out soon. And then I went on Amazon, and it's supposed to come out this month.
Oh,
that's what I thought. And I think they might have bumped it back a month or something.
You know, I'm going to check, make sure there's no good games coming out. So the last game I played this week for a quick review in our last waning minutes was Marvel versus Capcom. And
there was a lot of fighting about this on Facebook.
It wasn't fighting. Somebody posted a rage review, a rant review, ranter.
But I felt like people agreed. Like, they're like, no, this is a dumb game. Wait to get the one.
Absolutely. He was right.
Because talked about it. We're like, wait,
don't buy the expansion that's coming out.
Yeah.
My mouth watered when I saw it because I'm a big Marvel fan, and the idea of being able to be a super Skrull. I was like, seriously, a super Skrull? That's some new age stuff right there. You don't even know what a super Skrull is. Bam! That just happened.
I have a Captain America t-shirt now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Your son was dressed as Captain America, saved you $200.
I know.
I'll tell your story for you.
Listen to the Dad podcast to get that little story.
Oh, did
that's
going
to be coming out next week. Not next week. It's going to be coming out in 2 weeks.
It's in the past already.
Because I don't think we're going to be doing an episode because Bill got sick. I'm giving updates about our other podcast because I'm not good at this.
Anywho. What was to talk about?
You're checking out what games are coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And then you want to play Super Skrull Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah, so love that idea. And then so Christian had that game first, and we popped that in. And I was pretty unimpressed within the first fight because the left half of the screen, I'm like, I don't know hardly any of these characters. And if I know them, I don't care about them. They're like random weird Japanime Capcom characters. They give to be a pretty solid
Capcom.
Oh,
so it's not necessarily all Marvel add-ons?
No, it's the right half of the fighters are all Marvel characters. The left half are all Capcom characters. Now, mind you, there's like two Street Fighters and one Darkstalkers, which are actual fighting games from back in the day. Had it been Street Fighter versus Marvel, I'm game. Like, that makes sense. But this, I didn't know. What, maybe
just
there were three.
Capcom characters.
Just Capcom character. And Mega Man, not on the list.
Oh.
Exactly. Like the
captain. Like he should have been in the first game.
The first one. So, and I think he was in a preview because this is the third one.
Not even
one.
A any Mega Man representation.
I don't believe so. I don't know enough of Mega Man. There was some weird like toy.
There isn't a
kid.
Fighting game man.
No.
Fighting game man.
No, or Dr. Wily or any of those. No, none of those.
Tin Man.
I don't think so. Now, again, there might have been like a later gen, some other character, because there was like a dog, but it didn't seem like Robo. I think his name is Robo. So we sit there and play it, and I get to, you know, we do the Avengers versus the X-Men. We do a bunch of different battles, and it's just button mashing. It's just button mashing nonsense. And so I was really glad that, because I'm not into many button mashing games, and that really defeats my whole point of games are not games, because it's really just a game. So boo-hoo. But I would rather see more of a story with it.
Boo-hoo for me.
Oh, I thought he... Did you mean to hit?
No, I did. I was trying to... I'm still trying to find that stupid video, but I'm listening.
No, I know you are. I thought you meant to play
Oh, that's not okay. Whatever, that's happening.
Oh, there's so many noises. Yeah. So the Rager video that was somebody put on our wall, the guy is complaining. He has a solid point, but the thing about these rant reviews is that they lead themselves... It's like they need a director to tell them, you need to build towards your rant because you've started 100 miles per hour. You have nowhere to go. So it's just 6 minutes of him screaming and getting as flustered as he was the first moment he first started talking. Like, build on it, buddy. Build. Your point's solid. If you're going to get mad, start here and end here. Don't start here. You have nowhere to go. You're going to kill yourself. So he almost killed himself. But his whole point was that there are less features in the original. The second game that's coming out, this expansion game, which you can't add on to. You have to buy a whole new game. Only adds like 12 new characters, six of which are completely dumb. The only interesting character is Ghost Rider. Captain or Mega Man, still not on the list. And the only new addition to the game is third party watching. So you can online view somebody else's match. That's the only thing that's been added to the game. And so he was livid. And his whole point was, don't buy the game. Force them to put this stuff on DLC because they're testing us. They're testing us consumers to see how, you know, it's Craigator versus Craigatee, this one with a crooked finger. How little can we give them, the consumers, but so that they'll buy a whole new addition to it. Now, for me, I didn't buy the first one, so I was like, well, maybe I'll wait till the second one. But after seeing that and after playing the first one, I'm like, there's nothing here for me.
Yeah,
this is just button mashing
Tap
nonsense.
Out.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about this rant thing because I listened to an interview on another podcast with, if I don't know if anybody's an Insane Clown Posse fan, but they have a video called Miracles. Now, if you're not into cursing or whatever, don't check this video out because these guys, obviously, they're a little filthy or whatever.
But Justin, I'm way into cursing.
Yeah. So if that's your thing, then definitely check it out. This is like, basically what they do is they break down the basic fundamentals of the planet Earth and they define them all as miracles. Like they're trying to appreciate, like imagine a uneducated person who has a humongous audience and a filthy mouth, and they're preaching like, going, hey, have you ever noticed like one of the lines without a curse word is magnets. How do those work? that's amazing to me that magnets happen on our planet is like one of their things. You could say this on network television, so I'm all right. But he goes, there's this like pensive guy who's humongous and wearing clown makeup and who gets panned by in front of the screen while there's all these animations of like different things in nature. And he just goes, there's a lot of magic in this bitch. So the podcast I was listening to, they said the guys were on it.
That's awesome.
Is that a joke? And they were like, no, man, we were like really into the Earth, right? So there's this person that you have to go. If you go to the Miracles Insane Clown Posse and look for ICP Miracles on YouTube, watch the video, and then watch on the related videos, look for what looks like a chick in long hair, earrings, and lipstick, but I've, through further inspection, found out that is not a chick.
Oh, no.
ZJemp TV is the username.
Oh, yeah, you can see that Adam's apple.
But anyway, listen to his breakdown of like why it's not really miracles. Like it's long. It's like 6 minutes long. And it's completely, I'll give you a sample. I'll give you a sample here of it.
But he starts out.
No.
Or Shim. Is he a Shim?
Kind of, yeah. Why isn't it playing? Isn't
this is fascinating.
YouTube
radio.
Videos are supposed to play when you hit the play.
That's
thing.
Not YouTube. That's a Yahoo. They do something different. When you press the triangle.
If you haven't seen the video for Miracles by Insane Clown Posse, I suggest that you do so immediately. It really is a fascinating song, and not in a good way. For obvious reasons, it's been the subject of a great deal of commentary recently, mostly focusing on its embrace of stupidity in the form of a pervasive scientific
illiteracy. Is that
illiteracy.
Mad Max?
The video is not merely dumb, but enthusiastically dumb.
So it's like somebody who's
I'm really tripped out by that.
A blog writer is like reading their blog, and that's the tone through the whole thing. And that's exactly what I meant when you said you need to have levels to your rant. I go,
yeah,
here's the opposite of rich.
Same point. You still need levels. Oh, and don't be that creepy. Like that dude is creepy.
Yeah, and you know, like you first I thought she was a chick, and then I thought it was
one of your animandos, one of the whole like.
No, it is not.
This is not interesting, but insanely uninteresting. Oh dear God!
I gotta find what that is where it lets you animate, like because it gives you it's like your movies thing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Where you have it has pre animations,
yeah,
so you write the dialogue.
Yeah. We'll put it in. Jordan made one for Bear Jesus back in the day.
Oh, we need to make one for Shark Jesus then. I didn't know that there was a Bear Jesus.
Dum 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 dum. Unless you had something, any games you play? Do you want to talk about?
No,
I talked about a lot.
Solid.
I talk more in this episode than I have in any
okay.
other.
It's
episode
a balance.
Before.
It's a balance. Yeah. It's an easy 90-10 balance.
Today,
I am loquacious. I am loquacious is what I'm trying to say. And that 90% of the episodes, I run my mouth.
And when seriously, why has nobody wanted to make a wiki about us? There's just all this energy out there, but
they're
no
too busy worried about whether or not we're reading their emails. Which speak, hold on, I'm gonna say this.
Time travel.
not really angry at Caleb. I'm not really angry at him. I didn't see it, but I guess there was some kind of Facebook post.
Well, my Facebook didn't work a little while because he shorted it out with his tears.
Oh
snap, Caleb.
If I made him cry, then I'm sorry. But he got an email saying, hey, you know, and then I didn't get his Rebecca Black, which was hilarious because
Cat
we were talking about
it
right before we came up here, and your wife was like, oh, that's that chick that has that Friday song.
First reference on our show
she
gets.
I was like, oh, I didn't get your reference is what I guess. But then she broke down the reference. There's no reference, Caleb. All right.
Don't get mad.
No, I'm square button again.
Oh, okay. Dump. We love all of our fans.
Give us a call, 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget to go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and click on the GameStop banner and get all your video game needs from GameStop. Because if you click through, Daddy Kevin and Uncle Justin get a little taste.
I think Gink is still on our website.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll fix that.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Boom. Bam.
You just got moated.
Oh, good for you.
What else do I need to tell them? Oh, yeah. Tell your friends more about the show. It's growing and growing, and we love every minute of it. And next week, we'll be doing emails and trying to get through voicemails as much as we can.
Yeah.
Keep writing in, and thank you guys for listening. So, on behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.
Game over.